Welcome to the Do Deals, Get Rich podcast.
The two rules to buying any business.
Making the barrier to entry just so easy.
Here's how you get your money back.
That was really good. Welcome to the Deal Maven podcast, where we're going to help you get do deals and get rich. My name is Chandler Woodward. Here with Raleigh, Mr. Buffett Boy 2.0 Williams.
Buffett Boy 1.0.
Buffett.
Oh, he is himself.
Yeah, he's himself. And you're okay. 2.0.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Sounds right? Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody. We are running and we are rolling. Excited to have everyone again. If you're just coming here for the first time or you've been a long time listener, let us know. Go like, subscribe, follow the show. We love hearing from all of our, everybody, just kind of what they're loving to listen to and what they want to listen to as well. So make sure you go leave us a review, 5-star recommended would be awesome. And, we'll kind of go from there. So Raleigh, I'm super excited, about this podcast today. I think we're going to be talking about, building an acquisition team, like from going, so once you get started in acquisitions, I think the cool thing that we're going to talk about, I'm excited, is like, you can have any one of these roles and actually get started in acquisitions. And so when you're first starting, going into acquisitions, like what is the team you're looking at building?
Yeah, I think a lot of that kind of depends on just where you're at in your life. And so it kind of, you know, you have people that have money and are less inclined to do a lot of the day-to-day work. And then you have people that don't have that much money currently and are willing to do more and more of the day-to-day work. And then you have people that kind of sit in the middle that have a little bit of money and also like want to maintain kind of what the long-term vision and strategy is for what the business could potentially be. And so there's a place for everybody depending on where you're at. And you can add value to a deal and you can bring other people in. I think a lot of people make the mistake thinking that they need to be the answer for bringing the money, operating the business, maintaining the vision and finding the deal. And really you'll go a lot faster if you don't try to wear all four of those hats and you bring other people along in the ride with you to get it done. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is what those four things are and how you can go about finding the people that can be complementary to you just based on where you're at and where you can bring value right now.
I love that. That's awesome. I think honestly, like the coolest thing about this is actually being able to get rid of the stress of wearing all of the four hats,
yeah,
and actually being able to jump in. So, the first person that we'll talk about today is the investor. So you have four people, right? You have the investor, the operator, the entrepreneur, and the scout. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about an investor, what is the investor going to be doing?
Typically the investor will come in later in the deal, usually, and they're bringing capital and contacts to the business, and that's kind of their role in it. So a lot of times they'll just be the ones that are usually a little bit later on in their careers. They're, you know, older typically, and they have lost a bit of the fire to really go in there and be in the trenches and build processes and talk to customers and do all that stuff. But they will usually bring money to the table in a deal and also contacts. And they'll usually sit on the board where they're not really involved on a day-to-day basis on what's happening in the business, but they will provide the upfront seed capital and help the entrepreneur and the operator as they continue to run the business, kind of move forward and let them run things. So when I left my law firm job, my brother was really the investor in the escape room business that I started. I didn't have any money to put into that deal. And so I there were two people that did put money in. My brother was one of them. I basically came in to that deal as the operator. So I was the one who like really made everything happen from start to finish. And I got a big piece of it because I did basically all of the work to make sure that it happened. And so I wouldn't have been able to do it. I wouldn't have been able to run that escape room business with, you know, there was 200 grand that basically got put in from other people, from an investor group. So they put the money in, we set the deal, and then we kind of went off to the races, and I was the one that was like operating it.
And so you have the investor, we got operator. Next thing would be the actual entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the entrepreneur is usually the one that will set the vision for what the business is going to do. And a lot of times the entrepreneur is the one that's kind of putting all of these pieces together, that's finding the investor, that's finding the operator, potentially working with deal scouts to make something happen. Usually the entrepreneur will wear the operator hat for some period of time, or in best case scenario, you know, the entrepreneur and the operator are two different people. I kind of wore both of those hats. Yeah. In the business that I left, you know, the law to do, you know, a good example is like Uber. The CEO of Uber was Travis Kalanick, and he wasn't the one who actually had the idea and who built the code from the ground up. He was the operator that founder brought in to kind of run everything, because the founder wanted to focus on other things. And then they brought in outside capital as the investment group in order to run it. That was Benchmark Capital. And so you see, like, you have, if you're doing anything of substance, and really the thing to think about with these four groups is like, when you can do something really small by yourself, like, and you kind of have to decide whether you want to be like the captain of a canoe or like be in charge of, like, share the responsibility and the wealth and have partners on like a 40-foot yacht. And which one is it that you want to do? And like, yeah, there's no wrong answer there. Like, mm-hmm, captains of the canoe, that's no worse off than being somebody that's like a part of a team of a 40-foot yacht. But just you don't need to bring on an investor and an operator and an entrepreneur if you're going to buy a $100,000 business, because like, there's nothing that's substantial there enough to support anybody else besides you. And so one thing that, when you have this paradigm of investor, operator, entrepreneur, and scout, it allows you to find bigger deals and to go after bigger execution plans. And with that team, you can go do something bigger. And it's a lot easier to take a business that's at $2 million a year to $3 million a year than it is to take something at 50 grand a year, yeah, to 500 grand a year. Mm-hmm. And so kind of deciding what size you want and then building that team out in that way helps a lot, just sorting it out and getting organized on what you want to do.
That's awesome. I think it's perfect. So you have, I think it's cool. So help me understand, like, if you have, this is kind of like going kind of off topic for this thing, but like, if you have, so like, can the entrepreneur, I think I think myself, a lot of us probably people listening to this as well, maybe in the same boat, where it's like, hey, I want to get in acquisitions. Maybe I don't have like upfront capital to go out and invest it, so maybe I can go raise it. But like, where would you suggest like starting in those four people? Like, so obviously most likely if you're just starting out in acquisitions, you're probably not gonna be able to be the investor too much.
Yeah.
But where would you suggest starting in those four roles?
And so the fourth one is a scout. Oh, yeah. And what a scout will typically do is they just go out and find the deals, and they're typically deals that they have a back end buyer for already. So like a scout comes in and doesn't really know how to operate the thing that they're looking to acquire. They just come, like, I have scouts that work for me. They know what my acquisition criteria is, what I'm looking to do. And they don't need to know anything else other than what I'm looking for. And they'll bring me deals to potentially acquire. And then I pay them when I buy something that they've brought me. And so a scout is a slightly different skill set that kind of sits outside. You know, scouts don't typically partake in ownership after the deal gets done. Yeah. They kind of sit at the transaction level and they get paid when a transaction happens, and then they go out and do the next thing. And scouts are an interesting way to get started. There are a lot of guys in like the venture capital world that got started scouting deals for venture capitalist funds. Like Jason Calacanis is one of them, who like started as a scout for venture capitalists, saw how the venture capitalists did it. Like he was finding deals, giving them to the venture capitalists because he didn't have the money to do it. And then ultimately he was able to use that experience scouting for venture capital firms and was able to go out and raise his own funds. And like, you know, he went from basically going from a scout to an investor and kind of skipped the like operator entrepreneur phases because he was good at finding deals. And so like, you can still forge a path for yourself in like the scouting role as well. So that's kind of like what the fourth one is. Remind me what your question was.
So yeah, I said like, so basically answers a little bit, but it's like you have, when you're first getting in acquisitions, you probably most likely can start out either being entrepreneur, operator, or a scout. And so just like when you're going into that, like you look at certain skills, abilities, like you're looking at. It's like, if I'm looking at like, say I see this four charts, right? I see this little chart and there's four people. Like, how am I going to know like which off of my skill sets, which one I should be focusing on?
Yeah, I think part of that is driven by history. Like if you legit haven't done anything like ever, like you haven't accomplished anything yet, which is okay.
Yeah.
Like outside of getting good grades in school or like whatever, like running a little drop shipping site, or you've been a lawyer for 20 years, right? Not that that's not doing anything, but like if you don't have any
business experience,
if you don't have any like operational expertise running something, or like if you haven't been an entrepreneur yourself, you have a couple options. So like being a scout is probably like the lowest barrier to entry, right? If you have like no skill sets and you want to get started, because scouting is mostly driven by hustle and like a willingness to talk to people. You don't really need to be like hyper skilled in anything to get started as a scout, but it gets you in the industry and it opens up doors where people will talk to you that they otherwise wouldn't. Like if a kid out of college comes to me and says, "Hey, I haven't done anything, but like I want you to invest in my business. Like I want to be the entrepreneur." I would say, "No, I'm not having the conversation because you haven't, like, it's too risky for me." But if he says, "Hey, like I want to understand what you're looking to acquire, and then I'd love to go out and like search for that for you," I'd have the conversation with him. You can get to know people because you're saying, "I'm here, I'm willing to hustle for you." And like, you don't necessarily have to pay me up front, like only pay me if I get work done. So it's like a very low risk proposition for like everybody involved. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
On the scouting side, the investor side, I kind of put off to the side because either like you have the capital or you don't. And then between entrepreneur and operator, I think the best way to think about that is think about you trying to convince an investor about what your role is going to be in like on a pitch deck. So like if you are the entrepreneur tends to, like the entrepreneur a lot of times will either be the CEO and like have somebody that supports him in the operations role, or the entrepreneur like knows what they want to go after but doesn't want to operate it. So like if I were to go out and raise money for a business now, if I were to go out and try to raise funds, like I would go as the entrepreneur, but I have no inclination to like be a CEO and to like operate things really at like on the ground level like I did at Williams Entertainment Group. So like I would be an entrepreneur and I would have to bring into my team an operator for somebody. Like I wouldn't, if I was looking at full acquisitions to do, me personally, I don't want to acquire anything that I don't know that I can fill the CEO role of that acquisition, because I know that I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that's just like a gut check desire thing. So like I would go out and look at deals, but I would still want to bring an operator in place to operate with me. The operator a lot of times, so like if you're not very like detail oriented, or like systems oriented, or like if it doesn't excite you to like lead a team of 20 people or 30 people or 40 people, if that, if you know in your core that that's like something that makes you feel anxiety, not excitement, like it does for me,
yeah,
then like you're probably more of an entrepreneur than you are an operator. I would say that like it's hard for entrepreneurs to be operators, but operators can be entrepreneurs if they like also are okay like taking the risk and like talking to investors and whatever. Like the operator, I feel like a lot of times in like entrepreneur land, like calling somebody an operator, like the operator thing sounds less sexy. Like it sounds like yeah. you're like the guy who's like keeping trains running on time. But like the Uber, the Uber example of Travis Kalanick, like he made a ton of money because he was able to operate a software company. And he was like, he was basically the CEO of it. And so where you fit between entrepreneur and operator kind of depends on just like what your skill set is and like what you feel like you can contribute, like what you can actually contribute to a team. Entrepreneur, operator, investor, and a scout. And I think the thing to understand if you're just getting started or if you're in the process, a lot of times when people want to get started in doing a deal, they want to be the lone wolf that like, so that way they can like kill something and like get everything that they kill like to themselves. And so like a lot of times people are like, yeah, I want to do deals. That sounds dope. And then they just go out to the market and they start like looking like all over the place. And the point in these four things is that even you'll go a lot further, you'll get more deals done, like collaborating and working with and like having conversations with other people who aren't necessarily sellers of businesses, right? Like building your network within the people that are wanting to do deals. So like joining a Facebook group, like Mergers and Acquisition for Entrepreneurs, like getting into communities of people that are looking to do deals instead of just going out and searching for like the thing that you're going to go buy and acquire. It gets you a lot further. Like it gets you a lot further than just going out by yourself. Like I am transitioning more and more to the role of like further away from entrepreneur,
yeah,
and more into investor. And so like, so for me, if somebody is an entrepreneur or an operator, like I want to hear what they want to do because like I want to put money to work. And so I feel like a lot of times like an entrepreneur or an operator will be like, oh, like the money thing sounds scary. It like feels like I'm like trying to steal $250,000 from somebody. But like the people who are investors and who have the capital, like we don't want to do the work anymore.
Yeah.
Like we're burnt out. And so like, I love talking to entrepreneurs and operators and scouts that like have the fire, have the vision and like want to drive momentum to something. And so having those conversations more and more and spending more time thinking about a deal team as opposed to just finding the deal. And both of them are important. And like, but I feel like a lot of times, it's 95% of the time on like finding the deal and like
yeah,
0 to 5% of the time on like building the team. And like, so just like trying to make it 50-50 or 60-40, like you can get a lot further because you start building momentum of like multiple people that believe in you, believe in your vision. Cause like finding a deal is kind of a beatdown of a process because you're by yourself. It's a lot of like action without a lot of like traction a lot of the times because you're having conversations and like, oh, it's $10 million. I don't have the money. Like you don't have a ton of resources and like feels like nothing's falling into place. And so spending more and more time on like the team development, just having the conversations of, hey, investor guy, like what deals are you interested in generally, like what would be something that I could bring to you that could be interesting if I'm looking for something that I want to operate? Those conversations don't feel like progress in the moment that you have it because like you're not getting anything written down on paper, but it can progress things a lot further when things start to fall into place later on. And so, if that's you, join the Mergers and Acquisition for Entrepreneur Facebook group and start networking and go in there and just say which one you're leaning towards, whether you want to be a scout, an investor, an entrepreneur, or an operator, and we'll get you sorted. And that's it for this one. Peace!